Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
So it begins, the stuffing, the gravy, the rolls, oh, carb city. It is starch city for sure, and not to mention the pies, and we are so blessed. Happy Thanksgiving, friends. This program is all about that. It's all about the feast, the banquet, in different ways, though. So welcome to episode number 121. My name is Brooke Taylor, and we are going to focus on that today, the overflowing abundance, the lavish gifts the Father showers upon us, and celebrate. Also, a really big announcement which ties into all of that. I'm so excited to be able to share this with you. So thank you for allowing that. We're going to give you a sneak peek at the brand new book, Choose Joy, a 52-week devotional journey, just days away now from the release date on November 28th, and so many pre-orders, just so over the moon. So I want to get into that a little bit. And also, just different things on the show today. We're celebrating the beatification of Blessed Solanus Casey, born in Oak Grove, Wisconsin, the sixth of 16 children. Can you imagine that? But lived on a farm, just an amazing story. And we'll get into that a little bit. But kudos to the news stations, the outlets there in Detroit where he was beatified, because so many did, I think, a really great job. I watched some of the coverage. They did live streaming, a lot of really great segments. One in particular that aired, I'm going to just drop in and play a snippet for you, because it's a really neat story. It's about a woman named Josephine. She was among the 70,000 that was in the audience this weekend, and she has a really neat personal story about Blessed Solanus Casey. So we'll talk about that. And today's show will be the last for a little while anyway, as I prepare to go to the Holy Land. We get ready for our trip to Israel. But I want to let you know that at least on social media, I will be very active and would love to connect with you there. So my hope is to send back daily videos. I've done that with pilgrimages before, going to Italy and different places. I'm not sure, because it always depends on the hours and the Wi-Fi, but I'm going to do my best to try to make that happen. So if you follow me on YouTube, you can find me at Brooke Taylor and the number 9, but also Instagram stories, Facebook. I'm Brooke Taylor number 1 on Instagram, also on Twitter, and again on social media. So hopefully we can connect there. And I'm still taking prayer requests as well. There are a lot of people who would like to go to the Holy Land, but just cannot right now, cannot at this time. So we travel on behalf of one another. At some point, I think especially as we look at the Advent graces, bring those prayers to these holy sanctuaries, these places near and far. So if you have any prayer requests, feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out. Also, message me via social media that way as well. So usually as we get into the show, we stop down for prayer. But last week, I did it a little bit differently in that it was at the end of the show. And I kind of liked that. So I just think that it offers an opportunity to take in everything we talk about on the program and then put it on the altar, give it to God in prayer. And so that's how we'll conclude today's episode as well.
It's Brooks
House.
Ow. It's Brooks
House.
Well, come on in. I've taken the Sam's Club sale flyer and pretty much made my menu around that. We've got a meat and cheese tray with pears in the queue that we're going to get ready for Thanksgiving, mashed potatoes. I actually saw it's a skinny taste Brussels sprouts au gratin recipe.
This is delicious.
I have a new thing for Brussels sprouts. I don't know why. I never thought that I would say Brussels sprouts were delicious, but I'm telling you, there's some new ways to make them. And I think this is one of them. If you're interested in that veggie dish for your table. Check it out. I can link it up in the show notes too, but it's a really good skinny taste au gratin Brussels sprouts recipe. And it's kind of weird for us because this Thanksgiving will be the first where we're not actually having a turkey. And I know some people, it's not strange, but every year that's the tradition. And this year we're going with the ham instead. So, and I always host, but that I think for me has just kind of been a weird mental shift not to have that as part of the menu. But at the end of the day, of course, it's not the food or the menu that matters. It's the people who are gathered around that table, a time to recall our blessings, to serve one another. And I give a talk every year, mostly requested around this time of year, about Apron of Grace. That's the title. That's really where the name of my blog springs from, The Sacred Sink, that it's kind of our home altar. It's an emotional place, I feel like, this time of year, because when I'm in the kitchen and I get that old recipe box out, because I know everything is digital now, but that's one place where I go into this little dusty spot of my ancestors and their recipes and the things they made. And I think about my grandma's arthritic hands, and my mom brings a spoon over that was her mom's that she only brings over this time of year. And it's over 100 years old. And so you can't help but think about that, just serving as Jesus did, as we put that apron on, as Jesus wrapped that towel around his waist, even with the ones we struggle with that are coming over, that it is an opportunity to praise God for the blessing of family and the gift of today and life. And the other thing that cracks me up is I think it's kind of fitting, at least in our house, that people are kind of lazy then after the dinner, and we all kind of go into napping mode. And in a way, I know this is going to sound funny, but I feel like it's almost a precursor to Advent, where there's a peace in our heart. And not that we should be unconscious, of course, but kind of retreating like John the Baptist in the wilderness to say, prepare the way of the Lord, and become listeners to retrieve this silence for our families and our homes. And so we're entering into what people did for centuries. And that was wait for the Messiah then as we go into Advent, which brings me to our 52-week devotional journey, which will start the very first week of Advent. And there's always things you learn in hindsight. If I could do it over, I would make this book available now so that you would have had it way before. But as it stands, it's coming out and will be sent out right before that pocket, that first Sunday in Advent. So I'm just praying for the timeline of everything, because we think, at least for me, I guess, as mom and someone who's kind of in charge of my domestic world, we want to have all the answers and we want to feel like we have it all together. But the truth is, this is a new experience for me. And I'm so grateful for the experts that the Holy Spirit brought forth to help surround and lift me up and bring this book forth. I just had the idea, cast the net. People said, yes, let's do it. But at the end of the day, I was kind of walking in uncharted territory. So you always, I think, when you do something the first time, you learn so much along the way. And I'm so delighted and overjoyed at the product. I just wish that I could get it to you faster and sooner. But if you want to get it, if you want to order this devotional so you have it day one, week one, I just encourage you, you can go online and pre-order it. We've been receiving calls and orders from across the country, women ordering this book for their group at church, their Bible study, their MOPS groups, again, because it's all Christian tradition. So this is something together we can do with sisters and brothers of Christ of all different denominations. So if you already subscribe to the newsletter, then you have the link. You're all hooked up with the store and the pre-sale information. But what I'd like to do right now is to just give you a first look, a VIP sneak peek into what you can expect from the journal. So this is the challenge, because I feel like my heart is going to explode like fireworks because I'm so excited. And how do I take what I'm looking at and offer it to you in a way that will do it justice? So if you've seen online the cover, you know it's beautiful. It is Our Lady, although there are no features on her face. And so that was by design. It could be you. It could be anything that we picture Our Lady to be and what she represents. And she's standing in the midst of a rose garden. And in the beginning of the book, you will read the story behind the cover art. Ali Tao was our gifted artist, and she's the one that designed this image. And so she shares a little bit of a behind the scenes, which I love. I love that artists allow us in, because art is something that's so uniquely profound to the artist's mind. And then from there, I go into the introduction of the book and why I feel this book is so needed for such a time as this. And then as you get into the book, there's one little page that says how to get the most from this book. Every book has kind of a roadmap, and we need to have the right mindset and heart set before we enter into the pages. And so, and the rest is the Holy Spirit and us actually reading it, which I'm saying to myself looking in the mirror as I say that. But it talks about Lectio Divina. It also talks about using it as a group study and how you can do that. And then I really struggled because I wanted to give you a gold nugget from this book, but I feel like every entry is that. How do I pick? So I'm honestly opening the book randomly, and I'm just going to pick a date. This is 52 weeks. It's a year long. So join with me now as I just open it up and see what we have. Okay, I'm going to open up to page 72. And it is Robin Swoboda. This is called 10 Million Sheep on the Emerald Isle. So here we go. This particular reading is the fourth Sunday of Easter. So it's the scripture John 10, 11 through 18. A snippet of that passage says this: "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away." And then it goes into Robin's entry. So this is what she says: "I was in Ireland this past summer, and as we traveled through the rich green countryside, we came upon flocks of sheep, lots and lots of sheep, grazing bucolically in the rocky emerald fields, 10 million sheep scattered throughout the entire country. Every sheep had a large spray-painted circle on its back, blue, orange, red, blue and orange, green and purple. Some had one color, others had two. We were told by our tour director that the color indicated who owned the sheep. One color, one owner, two colors, two owners. Obviously, the two colors are proof that sheep tend to wander. In fact, it wasn't uncommon for us to see a small group or even a single sheep running down the road in front of us. While it was fun to watch, I had to wonder how different it was for the owner of the sheep to have to go out and round them up all and bring them safely home. Jesus calls us his sheep and tells us he is the good shepherd. He did so much more than spray paint a fluorescent circle on our backs. He covered us in blood, his blood, on the cross. Years ago, when I was in the midst of making a career decision that would impact my family, I heard a radio preacher say, 'The sheep never makes a conscious choice of its own will to stray from the flock. It happens one nibble at a time.' Not only did I see this play out in Ireland, but sadly in my own life when I wasn't listening to his voice. Reflection: are you making choices that are causing you to stray from his flock? What nibbles can you cut out of your life?" So that's one. That's just one example. And there was another one too. It's a short one. Okay, there's another one that I wanted to share with you, and it's so hard just to narrow it down because each one is so different, and some are really deep and take us very far into theology. Others take us really deep into emotion and pull things out. This one is short but high impact, and it's from Tanya Weitzel. And I wanted to share, this is the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time, so it's going to be next June. But the scripture is 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we are always courageous, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." And it goes on to the rest of the passage. But Tanya says this: "We are each given homes in which we live on this earth. These homes are our bodies, special temples that God commanded us to take care of and love. I have abused and mistreated mine over the years through self-hatred and negative thoughts. I have never fully loved the body I was given. I am just now beginning to learn to accept it as my home. It is a very long journey. My actions of not taking care of my body kept me from becoming close to God. I was rejecting God by not accepting myself. Preoccupied with my own body, I would constantly compare my appearance with others. I didn't see whole people, only the bodies they occupied. As I am better at accepting myself, I find it easier to see people for who they are, not just their outer frames. Our temples were chosen for us by God. They are his gifts to us. By rejecting our gifts, we reject God." And the reflection is, what sinful tendencies hold you back from accepting God's gifts, God's love for you? How can you better accept and use what God has already given you? And again, as I page through, I'm just looking at Melody Lyons. She shares a beautiful reflection. that lands on the Epiphany. And the name of it is called The Unholy Light in the Darkness. And she talks about the frustration, the gravitation she has toward her smartphone, her device. And so she is such a brilliant writer, and so she weaves the story. But how it ends is this. She says, "I was seeking silence and connection, but the hard truth is that I could not shut off the noise in my head. All I wanted now was to go back. I want to be near you, Jesus. I want to rest in your sacred heart, place my head on your holy chest, and hear nothing but the beating of your very life in my soul." So she then goes on to say how she turned away from attachments to unholy lights in the darkness, and how God hears our pleas, answers our cries with grace, and restores connections which can sometimes seem lost. Beautiful. The reflection question is, what things in your life have become obstacles to God's purpose for your soul? What's one distraction you can set aside out of love for Christ today? So cover to cover, there are 161 pages. It's for every single week of the year, every single person within the sound of my voice that has a heartbeat and a hunger for faith. And I hope that you will check it out. I invite it. And if you don't like it, I really want to know that too, because, I mean, let's be honest, we are here working for the kingdom, and we grow by way of sharing feedback and honesty. And if you do love it, then I would love to hear that too. So again, Choose Joy, a 52-week devotional journey, will be available on November 28th. And I'm going to need your help, friends. I won't be here when the book actually launches. Again, it's the whole hindsight thing, right? But we tried to get it out as soon as we could, and we wanted to make sure that you would have it in time for the first week in Advent. And again, it will go the entire year, not just a season, but this journey we begin will go through the entire church year, and you can read it and use it however you like. But I won't be here to promote it. I mean, you know how important it is these days on social media to market and promote things, but I know the Holy Spirit has a megaphone much louder and wider than I could ever share. So I'm entrusting that to the work of the Holy Spirit and doing what we can as we're in Israel. And just wanted to thank you again for your support.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release. Let us find our rest in thee.
So, you know, the Swiss Army knife, it's a multi-tool thing that has many different variations. That's what I kind of wanted to do with this particular podcast today, kind of touch on a couple different things that you can use and take with you over the next few weeks. And one of them is Advent, as we prepare and get ready. And I ran across an article recently that I thought was really cool that I wanted to share with you. It's from Catholic Philly. It talks about the importance of going to confession during Advent. So I just wanted to offer that, because that's something that's been on my heart a lot lately. I want to get there. I want to get my kids there. And I know during Lent, it's top of mind. We talk about it. I mean, that's the whole beginning of Ash Wednesday, repent and come back. But then I was reading about the particular graces that occur during Advent when we go to confession. Of course, we should go all year round, but this is a quote from retired auxiliary bishop Louis DeSimone. He says, "With all that's going on, we want to be absolutely ready to receive that little infant Jesus. When I go to Holy Communion on Christmas, I want to go as white and pure as I can. Being mindful of the Blessed Mother and her role in the incarnation of Jesus Christ is another manner in which to properly prepare for Christmas." Listen to this. If you can, don't close your eyes if you're driving, but if you're able, listen to how he brings this to life in this imagery. He says, "Imagine in a way that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, and she is going to hand me her son here. How would I receive him in my hands? That's the way I want to be ready to receive Holy Communion on Christmas Day after I have made a good confession." Say, I love this too. He says, "Even the manger scene has all kinds of real life situations. In essence, it is our life depicted in the stable. Unknowns, trust, beauty, life, redemption." He says, "There at the center is the Lord. What we see in the manger at Christmas is what God wants to do for us all the time, for him to be the center of our hearts. so that all the other things that surround our lives can find their place in Him. But it's equally appropriate in Advent as we clear a way for the Lord in our hearts. And so in order to be able to make a way and clear a path, we need to go to confession and purify our hearts, examine our conscience, and set forth looking for the star and going to adore Him. So, and it's really funny because I keep thinking that with this trip to the Holy Land and knowing that we're going to be on Mount Tabor and all of these holy places, and I was reading about this Moses Chapel that we're going to be in, and my thought was, there is no way that I can set foot on this holy ground. I am literally going to spontaneously combust when I go up there, and I want to be ready. And so I do think, you know, even wherever we are in our homes or churches, it's just as holy, and to need to be able to go through the season with our hearts and our minds right. I mean, we talk about this a lot, but I do think confession is a good one to mention as we set out.
The beatification of Father Solanas is one more proof that God loves the city of Detroit and God loves our community.
Oh, I love that. And with that, the formerly venerable, now blessed Solanas Casey is one step closer to canonization. I have a great book that my husband got me a couple years ago for Christmas. It's called All for the Love of Mothers, and it's a collection of memoirs from a Catholic midwife before, during, and after World War I. Now, and I think she's in England. On the cover, actually, is the family of Solanas Casey, mom and dad, and all 16 kids. It's really amazing. But he has been called a walking proclamation of God's love. And if you don't know his story, it's worth just touching on. And if you do, then it's a beautiful thing to hear again. He was affectionately called Barney, born in Wisconsin, a rugged farm boy. Those Wisconsinites, they know how to do it. They're outdoorsmen. He loved to just get in there and enjoy creation. But then when he was 7, he contracted diphtheria, and that left him for the rest of his life with a raspy, whispery voice. He loved music, especially the violin. And then he worked during his teen years, worked hard. I mean, this is a Wisconsin family depending on crops. They're farmers. And so when they didn't have a great yield, a great harvest, he had to help them. And he did that during his teen years. He was known during his lifetime as a wonder worker, for his great faith, for his abilities as a spiritual counsel, but especially his great attention to the sick. And one of the things either I didn't know or I forgot was that he struggled in terms of education and learning. And I knew this about St. John Vianney, because whenever my kids are struggling in school or with grades, I say, ask for St. John Vianney's intercession. They boxed his ears in the seminary because they were frustrated, those that were his superiors. He couldn't learn Latin very well. They didn't even think that he would pass and become ordained, but he did. His extraordinary holiness made up for any sort of academic challenge that he may have had. And similarly with Solanas Casey, his grades were so low on his final examination that the board only ordained him as a simplex priest. So he couldn't hear confessions. He couldn't preach at that time, because they thought his theology was insufficient, but he was ordained because of his faith. And so 70,000 plus people came to Detroit over the weekend for his beatification. And those news stations in Detroit, I think the local news stations, did a fantastic job of their coverage. So one little piece I wanted to share with you is from WXYZ Detroit, and a woman named Josephine. She's sharing her experience, her encounter with Solanas Casey. Take a listen.
Oh, I'll just be so elated. I think that I'm going to have many than one handkerchief to cry on.
Josephine believes Father Solanas has already performed miracles. When her brothers were in World War II, she asked him to send them prayers. She thinks that's the reason why they came home safe.
Older brother says, I don't know how I was saved. He says, I was in my army tank. I got up to stretch, and then they bombed the army tank, and she said, I would have been in it.
Josephine's sister once told her she would live a long life because of the many blessings she received from Father Solanas. Well, Josephine turns 97 next month.
He'd smile at you, and he'd speak very, very softly and look at you like he wanted God to be with you.
Isn't that so cool? And you know, so many other souls felt
loved and closer to God because of his witness. His last words were reportedly, "I give my soul to Jesus." And I also learned that his body was exhumed in 1987. It was found to be incorrupt completely, except for a little decomposition on his elbows. So Blessed Solanus Casey, pray for us. So much to be thankful for, friends. I am thankful for your faithful support. I humbly ask for your prayers as we set off for the Holy Land and for our pilgrims, for our guide, every aspect, our families at home. To my dear Podbean patrons in particular, I want to share with you, you will be with me in Israel as I pray for you. And thank you so much for your ongoing monthly support, helping this program reach people all over the globe. If it wasn't for your support, I really believe this book, Choose Joy, would not be out, because it's really all from the podcast that these things have sprung forth. So God bless you, and thank you to all of our 19 faithful, fantastic Podbean patrons, to all of our listeners who listen and have shared the program with others. We're just so grateful. So as we wrap up, let us pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, help us as we set everything else aside to give you thanks. You have created us in your own image and set us over your wonderful creation. You chose a people to be your own and to carry your message of salvation to all people. Let us give proper thanks, Lord, for your blessings, those blessings we are aware of and those we habitually take for granted. Let us embrace this day and rejoice all with gratitude. Amen. Well, a big thanks to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studio for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So for any audio needs you may have, please do not hesitate to reach out. You can contact him at cumminghomestudio.com. Also, a reminder, there are some tickets left if you are in the Midwest. I'll just put it that way. Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, any of those surrounding areas. I invite you to take a little trip and visit us on December 9th. For the Choose Joy Luncheon. I promise you it is going to be fantastic. In fact, Robin Swoboda, the entry that I read there about the sheep, she's one of our speakers. She is a Hall of Fame broadcast journalist and beautiful Christian woman of God. My friend Pastor Linda Isaiah is going to be speaking. Lori Triplett, a tremendous Nashville recording artist, is coming in and she's going to be blessing us with Christmas music. It's going to be kind of our unofficial launch party of the Choose Joy book as well. So an invitation for you. We've already got a full house of ladies coming. It's going to be at Walsh University, but we can still squeeze a few more in. So I'm super excited about that. There's shopping, there's food, the whole works. There's also going to be some goodies coming up for the Arise retreat. We also have some space left on that for the weekend, and I think it would make a beautiful Christmas gift. So be watching for some incentives and discounts in preparation for Christmas as well. Until next time, friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's light shine upon you and give you peace.